You're now listening to a Word for Deliverance podcast with Pastor Leonard D. Cochran of A Place of Refuge Noonan. A Place of Refuge Noonan is located in the city of Noonan, Georgia. To stay better connected with us, for more exclusive information and updates, download our church app, A Place of Refuge Noonan, or visit our church website at apor-noonan.org. Now, let's join in for today's message.
I'm reading out the New King James Version, Jeremiah 3 and verse 15. Notice what he says. He said, "And I will give you shepherds according to my heart, who will feed you with knowledge and understanding. And I will give you," the I is the Most High, Yahweh, Jehovah, "I will give you shepherds," notice, "according to my heart." According to my heart. Heart here deals with the mind or the mindset. I'm going to give you shepherds. I'm going to give you pastors according to my heart. I'm going to give you shepherds who have, number one, my mind or my mindset. Number two, I'm going to give you shepherds, because the heart also has to do with choices. I'm going to give you shepherds who will choose the way that I choose. They're going to make their choices based upon what I choose. And then finally, the heart represents feelings. I'm going to give you shepherds who will have my feelings. Now, no shepherd in the earth realm will ever in totality be what the great shepherd is. We will never in totality have God's mind. We will never in totality be able to choose as he chooses, because again, he is omniscient. He knows all. But when God gives his people a shepherd, he's only giving his people shepherds according, and don't miss this, to his heart. And it's out of that that the shepherds are going to feed or give his people knowledge and understanding. So if you ever wonder where does the understanding come from that pastor gives us week in and week out? Well, because I'm God's shepherd, the knowledge, the understanding comes from him, because I strive to have his heart, again, his mind or his mindset. If a shepherd is, as is described in Jeremiah 3 and 15, if a shepherd has God's heart and has been given to God's people, notice this, he will feed you, not what he wants you to have, but he's going to give you what God wants you to have, or what God wants us to have. Now listen to me carefully, because I'm about to give you my subject. If this is the case, then the shepherd is not going to be two things in particular. He is not going to be dumb, because a dumb shepherd cannot feed God's people. Come on, y'all. I'm going to give you three. He's not going to be stupid. Nobody wants a stupid shepherd. Oh, y'all decide. I don't want a stupid shepherd. I don't want a dumb shepherd. I don't want an ignorant shepherd. Because if he's dumb, if he's stupid, if he's ignorant, he can't feed me. He can't give me the knowledge I need. He can't give me the understanding that I need. What does he need to be? Well, he's going to be it, according to this, because God has given him, because he has his heart. And so I want to teach this morning on the antithesis of a shepherd being stupid, dumb, and ignorant. And that is an intelligent shepherd. And so my subject this morning is simply intelligent shepherds. Intelligent shepherds. And let's give God a praise for our subject this morning. Intelligent shepherds. Come on. Intelligent shepherds. We're going to deal with this and then we're going to let it go. But understand, and I've said this before I put it out there, I've been guilty of saying this. And sometime as a young minister, you're preaching and you can sometimes get excited And as a young minister back in the day, and a lot of ministers know this, you begin to say things because you hear another preacher say it. You don't really know if it's Bible. It just sounded right when that preacher said it. And so throughout the church, there's a lot of church lingo that folk will say that's really not Bible. It's really not Bible. You'll never find it in the Bible. God said if you make one step, he'll make two. Now, God may have said that personally to somebody, but that's not scripture. That's not in the Bible. You can never say, the Bible said that God said in the Bible that if you make one step, he'll make two. It's not in the Bible. It's not, you're not going to find it. You're not going to find it. And so there's a lot of things as young preachers, we would get excited and we would say things, not realizing that it's not biblical. And one thing that we will say in reference to sheep, because it primarily came from looking at sheep only from a natural standpoint, is that people in church, and some pastors are guilty of still doing it today, we would often say that, well, you know, we are God's sheep, but sheep are dumb. Sheep are dumb. Some of you have heard pastors say that sheep are dumb. But there's no way when you look at it biblically that God's sheep would be dumb if he has set a man over them to give them two things, knowledge and understanding. If we are caught being dumb, it's because we are not eating what God is setting on the table to make us intelligent. Come on. Once I learned it, I started changing how I study the Bible. I started changing what I just say. Come on, somebody. Because I want it to be intelligent. Come on, I want it to be intelligent in this thing. I wanted to know that I was a believer. Y'all better hold on. But I wanted to know why I believe what I believe. Come on, somebody. You don't want to just tell somebody you're a believer and they ask you, well, what do you believe and why do you believe that? An intelligent sheep can not only tell you what they believe, oh, I'm teaching right, but they can tell you why they believe it based upon the word. None of that, my pastor said it. No, because your pastor ain't wrote one book in this Bible. So it has to be bigger than that. And so if God gonna set a man over his people to give them two things, knowledge and understanding, then it's no way God ever intended for his sheep to be dumb, to be ignorant. Are y'all in agreement? Now listen, because of that, if you're taking notes, we can never make the mistake of thinking that all shepherds or all pastors are the same. Can't do it. You can't think that all pastors, that all shepherds are the same. Now, I should have got some amen, because some of us come from churches where, if the truth be told, when you got here, when you landed here, you knew it was a difference. Oh, you ought to, yeah, you knew, like, no. He ain't nothing like Reverend so-and-so. He ain't nothing like my former pastor. This is not just different, but it is better, and it's of God. I said it's of God. And if the truth be told, some of us got tired of where we come from. We wanted truth. We wanted knowledge. We wanted understanding. Why? So that we can come out of some things. Am I talking to anybody this morning? And so never make the mistake of thinking that all pastors are the same. Just like all saints are not the same. All members are not the same. Come on, I'm going to break it on down. All black people are not the same. All white folk are not the same. All Hispanics are not the same. Come on, somebody. I hate when people say, well, you know, that's how so-and-so. No, you can't group everybody like that. Come on, you can't do that. All pastors are not the same. He says it, the prophet, Jeremiah says it, talking in the first person as a prophet. He's speaking as God because God is speaking through him. And he said, and I will give you. And I will give you. See, there are churches that have pastors, listen to me, but they didn't come from God. Woo! There are churches that have pastors, but they came from the family. Come on. They came from the person who had money. Oh, there are churches that got pastors, but they come from the deacons. And if a pastor does not do what the deacon or deacons want him to do, oh, bro, pastor will be out of there. Some of you came from churches like that where a certain deacon ran the church. And so the pastor did not come from God. It's some good stuff. And because of that, because the church was not in divine order, there was chaos and confusion in the house. The house was known more so for confusion than order. And the Bible said, let everything be done. How? Decently and what? In order. But if that is to be done, the first one who needs to be in order is the shepherd. Is the shepherd. That's the reason when you decide, when God sends you to a church, it's important that you don't let nobody run you away from where God sent you. Because you're going to run into trouble at the church. You're going to have issues with people at the church. But where you need to look is at the top. Make sure the top is in order. And if the top is in order, you stay in place and watch God deal with the things that are out of order. Oh, I'm going to preach it to you even if you get mad today. And don't you try to put it in order. How many know some things are bigger than you? But you look at leadership. And if leadership is solid, if leadership is of God, I guarantee you, if you look close enough, there will be leaders who have the pastor's spirit. Maybe not all of it, but you're going to be able to tell. He has pastor spirit. She has pastor spirit. And that's going to begin to trickle down throughout the church. Now, people come to the church for a number of reasons. I'm not ignorant. People come to the church for a number of reasons. I said this years ago, and I will always say it. People have to allow you to pastor them. There are some folk, they will allow you to preach to them, but they won't allow you to pastor. See, they'll allow people to preach to them because the preaching excites them. They'll allow you to prophesy to them if the prophecy is good. But pastor, what do you mean they won't allow you to pastor them? Well, to pastor, you're going to get into correction. You're going to get into rebuke. See, in one sense, God set me here so that you couldn't just do what you want to do. Come on. Set me here to sometimes get all in your business, even though I ain't talked to nobody about your business. And so people have to allow you to shepherd them. That's why I'm always excited around this time because I know the people who allow me to pastor them versus the people who just say, well, I like the praise team. I like this, that, and the other about the church. And so they may be coming for a number of reasons, but the people who allow you to pastor them, one thing I know about those folk, their life is going to be productive. Even if they're struggling now, because they have a God-sent shepherd, because they have an intelligent shepherd, they ain't going to be there long. She ain't going to be stuck right there long. that girl coming into battle. Why? She allowing me to pastor her. She listening to the word. I got to move on. What does intelligent mean? Two things I want you to receive. Number one, that intelligent just simply means wise, to be wise. God's shepherds are going to be wise. And it takes wisdom to lead people who are diverse in a number of ways. It takes wisdom to lead people because everybody not the same. Some people want you to do this. Some people want you to do that. And so a pastor has to have wisdom to lead God's people. There's a lot to be said when we look at the Bible. So a pastor has to have wisdom in reference to, but what is the thing God would have for me to say? That's what makes the difference. When you end up in a church and the shepherd is intelligent, you know when you listen to your shepherd, you hear the wisdom of God. More importantly, you hear the word of God. Pastor is still teaching from the Bible. He's still saying things and then lining them up with scripture. Line upon line. Precept upon precept. Here a little, there a little. So we understand is God's word. And then the second thing intelligent has to do with is being discerning. See, pastor has to be discerning. When a person is discerning, they can recognize the differences between people and things. It's important. It's important to have discernment. Now, the pastor is not the only one who needs to be discerning. When you sit under an intelligent pastor, if your pastor has wisdom, if your pastor has discernment, then likewise, you should have it. You may not have it on the level that I have it because you don't have to do what I've been assigned to do, but you still going to need it in your life. Ooh, come on, here, somebody. You're going to need discernment to know who to be close to and who to. Come on, somebody. You need discernment for that. Am I right? And if you don't have it, you're going to let people get close to you that shouldn't. You're going to put confidence in people you never should have trusted. But you don't have any discernment. But God will give it to you. How, Pastor? Through his Holy Spirit. Spirit of God will talk to you about people in your life. He'll talk to you about where you need to be. Come on, somebody. That's when you never look for a church the way you look for a car. You have to be, well, I need to change that because we need to rise to a level where in everything we do, we live by the Spirit. So let me change that. The same way we look for a car, being led by the Spirit, we should do the same for a church. We should be led by who? The Spirit of God. Because God knows what type pastor I need. Come on. And some of you, you wouldn't do well setting up under somebody sugarcoating it. You wouldn't do well like that. You wouldn't do well sitting up under a pastor who doesn't really say what he means. Some of you appreciate about me is that I just say it. Come on. Some folk call it raw. To the point. And some of you say, I appreciate that. Appreciate getting that truth. Even if Pastor Noah is going to hurt your feeling, if God has told him to say it, he's going to say it. Amen. That changes your life for the better. What is knowledge? What is knowledge? This intelligent shepherd, this intelligent pastor is going to feed God's people with knowledge and understanding. Very simple. Knowledge is simply know-how. Know-how. Look how awesome God is that when it comes to his people, he knows that we need to know how to do certain things. That's how much he cares about you. He said they need knowledge. They need know-how. You got to teach them because they need to know how to pray. They need to know how to pray. They need to know how to talk to me. Come on here, somebody. They need to understand how to communicate with me. You got to teach them how to cast all of their cares upon me so they're not carrying things that's too heavy for them. They need knowledge. And see, sometimes I come out and God has put certain faces before me, and I know you're carrying something that you need to be casting. Ooh, Jesus. You say, how did Pastor know that I was carrying this load? He sought the face of God. And God said, give them knowledge. Let them know. Don't carry it, but cast it. And you know the reason some of you are better? You know the reason some of you are looking better? You heard that message. You received that knowledge. And what you have been carrying around, you said, let me cast this. Let me give this to God. But you needed knowledge. Am I right? You need know-how. You need to know how to praise God. We need to know what God is looking for when it comes to praising him. You need to know why we clap. You need to know why we leap. You need to know why we turn in victory and so forth. You also need to know how to give. You need knowledge in reference to giving. Sadly, some people reject the knowledge of giving. And they stay in a place that God has not ordained. See, the only way to break the back of poverty, since poverty is a mindset more than anything, is a person needs knowledge. Oh, come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. Many of us that came out of poverty, we came out because we received knowledge about giving. Give and it what? Shall be given. Look at that knowledge. Look at that knowledge. And we did not stay broke. We did not stay busted. Come on, somebody. Because we receive knowledge. Understanding. Give them knowledge. Give them know-how. Give them understanding. They need to know my word. Listen carefully. And in reference to my word, they need clarity. They need clarity. That family is never going to be where I desire them to be unless you give them clarity. Give them understanding about the family. What is the antithesis of clarity? It's ignorance. Come on, somebody. It's darkness. God don't want you to stay in the dark. He said, and I will give you shepherds. What does James tell us about God when it comes to him as a giver? James said every good, come on somebody, and every perfect gift comes from who? God. Do that mean the shepherd is perfect? No, no man is perfect. Oh, come on somebody. No man is perfect. The shepherd is intelligent. Are y'all listening? But he's also imperfect. Which means if you look close enough, you're going to see some imperfections. But how close are you looking? You're really just, you know, if you got, don't do this, but if you just want to follow me around, spying on me for 30 days and everywhere I go, you somewhere, Paul, eventually you're going to see me do something. Come on. If it ain't no more than you being behind me and you clocking me at 85 in a 55, you say, look at me speeding. It's going to be something. Why? Because I'm never going to be a perfect man. Not here on this earth. Never. Never. But if I'm God's man, I've been given because I'm good. Pastor is beneficial for me. It's good for me to listen to my pastor. Woo! It's good for me to sometimes get counsel from my pastor before I make certain decisions to get his wisdom. Come on. It's good for me to go to him when I can't deal with things, to receive knowledge and understanding. Come on, somebody. Every good every perfect gift. Perfect, not flawless, but complete. God never gives a shepherd to a congregation until he knows he is complete so that he can help. God wants his people helped. Y'all hear me? God wants his people bettered. And see, sometimes he'll set the shepherd there, allow the shepherd himself to go through things, allow the congregation to see the shepherd going through, but also allow them to see me bringing you through things that you couldn't come out of yourself. Why is that? So that you also become their example. I'm not just blessed just to be blessed. Come on, I'm blessed to let some people know that you also can be blessed. I do certain things so that people who come, who think they can't, will look at me and say, wait a minute, that's my example. I can do it. I can come out of it. I can be that. Come on, somebody. And that's important. Listen to God. It's important that his people have an example. What did Paul say? Follow me as I follow who? Christ. Right? Notice in Jeremiah 3, I'm getting ready to come in. Jeremiah 3, and I will give you. And I will give who? I will give. I will give. We better find out who this you is. Because God ain't giving shepherds to any and everybody. Come on, we're really trying to deal with this text. And I will give you. The you in the text represents a number of people, but all the same people. Number one, Israel. Jeremiah was prophesying to Israel. Who is Israel? Zion. He was saying to Zion, a fortified people, that I'm going to put somebody good over y'all. I'm going to give you something that's going to benefit your life. I'm going to give you somebody that's going to help change your life for the better. And listen, and cause you, since you landed at Refuge, to be productive in every aspect of your life. It's too much jacked up over here. I got to send this boy to Refuge and teach him how to be productive in every aspect of life. Do you not realize to get to that place, you're going to be challenged sometimes? Bishop talked about it Friday night, that sometimes we have things in our closet. But you know what I love about God? That he wants to deal with what's in the closet. Let me deal with that. Let me show you how to overcome that. Let me show you how to be a better person. The only way many of us got to the point to where we are now productive in every aspect of life, God had to deal with some things. He had to challenge us in some areas. The you is also the church, the brethren. But one thing I want us to receive based upon what God has been saying to us is that the you in the text is also the righteous. It's the righteous. And I will give you, or I could say, and I will give the righteous shepherds according to my heart. Let me show you why the righteous need shepherds according to God's heart. Psalm 34. Good word. Good word. Faith come by hearing, hearing by the word. According to Romans 10. But how shall they hear? Woo. Without a who? Without a who? Without a who? You better look at somebody and tell them, I need my preacher. Y'all didn't say it like you mean. Look at somebody there and tell him or her, I need my, make it personal, my preacher. Now you sit there and act like you don't need your, I need my preacher. Why? The main reason God said I need him. How can God tell us we need anything and then we look at him and say, well, I don't need it? Come on. If God said you needed a bath, you need one. Psalm 34:19. And a lot of people can say that too. You say, I don't know what it is. I don't need no bath. But if God says you need to take a bath, you need to head straight to the shower. You need to go jump in the tub. See, I messed with you then, done. Why? Because if God say you need something, you need it. You need it. Well, Pastor, I had just bathed 10 minutes before he said that. Yeah, but it could have been something got on your skin that God know. You don't even see what's on your skin. That if you're going down there, get up under some water. Well, messing with some of you. That's when some of us don't obey God sometimes. He'll tell us to do things that we want. Well, why should I die? I don't know why God would tell me to do that. God, no. He omniscient. Just do what he's telling you to do. I always go home this way. But God telling you don't go home that way tonight. He's telling you go a different way. Whoa. But Waze is telling me to go there. Waze is not omniscient. Obey God. That's the long way. Doesn't matter. He said go the long way. It's good. Why God know we need him. The righteous need intelligent shepherd. Psalm 34:19. Many are the afflictions of who? Many are the afflictions of who? Tell your neighbor, God know. They're righteous folk. Go through a whole lot of stuff. And see, God know that we're going to go through a whole lot. He know we're going to deal with a whole lot of things. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. But the Lord delivers him or her out of what? Them all. Now, I ain't going there, but one verse actually says that through knowledge, the righteous are delivered. How do you think that deliverance is coming? It's coming through God's word. It's coming through God's instructions. And so since God know we're going to go through a lot, then he know we need intelligent shepherds. I don't want to be setting up under somebody and I'm going through. The pastor is going through, but he making things worse in his life. How can he tell me how to come out of something that he's stuck in? See, that ain't going to work. Come on. That ain't going to work. Notice Psalm 119. We moving. What are we talking about? Intelligent shepherds. Psalm 119. And some today, you ought to be so glad that God didn't put somebody dumb over you. I said, some of you ought to be just saying, Lord, thank you. Woo! Thank you for putting somebody over me who has your heart. Now, see, I have to be likewise. When I come to putting people over certain things in the church, I got to know they have my spirit. Oh. Y'all know we done been through a lot with our youth. Now, we need to be glad that God has set Minister Cochran over our youth. We need to be glad that our young people have an intelligent youth minister. You ought to be glad when they go down there that you ain't got to say they down there listening to some dumb boy. Going down there and listen to dumb boy. No, y'all can go down there and say, hey, go down there and pay attention. Because Minister Cochran know what he's talking about. He's proven. He's proven in the church. He's proven outside of the church. Come on. That's important. Psalm 119:50. And you have some leaders who want to be higher, but they're not proven. You're not proven. You can't go any higher until you become a giver. You are not proven as a giver. Psalm 119:50. Whoa. Y'all still here? This is my comfort. Psalm 119:50. Y'all there? This is my comfort in my affliction. For your word has given me life. comfort. See, an intelligent pastor will know you going through afflictions, but he knows how to teach and preach the word in such a way that even though you under a whole lot, you leave the church having been given a word that comforts you. Come on. Some of you done came in here, why don't y'all just give me a little credit? Some of you come in here like, I can't take no more. Somebody gonna get hurt today if I don't get a word. And you came in here, and as if that word just told you, chill. Just chill. Just chill all the way down. And listen to the intelligent shepherd. And so you're like the psalmist. I'm like the psalmist. The word comforted. Two things the word comfort mean is to strengthen. Going through a whole lot. But that word gave me strength. What Pastor talked about Wednesday night, it strengthened my heart. And you know when your heart is strengthened, just like it is in the natural, you can go further. The Bible talks about how bread strengthens a man's heart. How many of you have been hungry and just felt like you can't go no farther? And you done told your supervisor, look, I got to take a break. I can't give you no more without a break. You went, got a cup of coffee, got a sandwich, and took it on in. Come on, somebody. Bread will strengthen you. Just like natural bread. Some of y'all playing today. You're going to eat today because you're going to need some strength. Yes, you are. Just like natural bread strengthens, spiritual bread strengthens as well. I can't handle this. This isn't too much for me. There is a blessing in what I'm going through. Just hang in there, Sister Tamika. You coming out better. I don't care how it's looking. When it's all said and done, God gonna put his favor all on your life. And you gonna wake up one day in something that's better than what you came out of. But you gotta let that word comfort you. That's when I appreciate a good pastor, because people will take you there. Girl, I was gonna cuss out, but Pastor just happened to mention last Sunday about we ain't got no business cussing. I was gonna cut them. Pastor, I was gonna cut them if they said something else. But the word comforted me. I didn't go off on my supervisor. I didn't. 3 weeks later, they called me in the office and gave me a raise. But I would have messed it up if I'd have done what I felt like doing. But the word, it comforted me. Comfort also has to do with joy. It gives joy. Listen. What is the antithesis of comfort? What is the antithesis of comfort? To be miserable. God knows his people don't have an intelligent shepherd. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. You're going to be afflicted and miserable. Come on. Unhappy. Tormented. You're going to be afflicted and having anxiety. See, the Bible says anxiety in the heart of man. Come on, somebody. Proverbs 12:25. Causes depression. If I don't give them an intelligent shepherd, when they go through painful things, they're going to get stuck in depression. You know what keeps some of us out of depression? God's intelligent shepherd. God talking to the shepherd about the things that we are going through, giving us a rhema word, a word tailor-made for us. Am I right? Finally, woe to him or her. Woe to him or her who is afflicted and without a good word. Woe to people who go to churches going through a whole lot, but they don't have an intelligent shepherd. He's not wise. He's not discerning. All this that I'm going through, and we never get a word at the church. We come frustrated. We leave frustrated. Secondly, woe to those who get a word, who get knowledge and understanding, but they reject it. Woe to you. Woe to you if you have an intelligent shepherd giving you a good word, but you are rejecting it. What did Hosea say in Hosea 4 and 6? God said through the prophet, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge. Don't reject it. God put an intelligent shepherd over you. Don't reject the knowledge, the understanding that he is set in place to give you. Because it comes to change your life for the better. Remember this and then I'm done. An intelligent shepherd was, number one, wise. Number two, discerning. Because pastor is the primary one who gives the knowledge and understanding to the church, to the ecclesia, then the pastor is also seen as God's house prophet. He's the one that speaks the mind of God in God's church primarily. Do y'all understand? Not the only one, but the primary person who needs to speak the mind of God is the pastor. So that the auxiliaries get the pastor spirit, and whatever they're doing, they're also flowing in that same aspect. Why is that important? I'm going to talk about this story briefly, and then we're done for today. You remember the widow woman that God had commanded to sustain Elijah? I believe in 1 Kings 17. I want y'all to think about this. Elijah was an intelligent prophet. He did everything God told him to do. What God wanted him to be, he was there. When God wanted him to move, he moved. You remember the story talks about how God sent him to the brook. Said the ravens are going to bring you bread and you can drink from the brook. And God took it. Elijah went to the brook. Didn't go hunting. Didn't go try to do nothing. Just waited on the ravens. Y'all got to hear me because I ain't got time to deal with it. Waited on a meat-eating, a flesh-eating bird to bring him food. Come on. You talking about trust. Sitting there just like the raven better come on here. But then the brook dried up. And God said, go to Zarephath. I've commanded a woman in Zarephath to take care of you. When he gets to Zarephath, here's a widow gathering a couple of sticks. Elijah said, go get me a morsel of bread. Or go get me water. She's going to get water. And he said, hey, by the way, bring me a morsel of bread. She said, look, I can get you water, but I do not have bread. Listen to me. The reason you need an intelligent shepherd, an intelligent prophet, is because in that moment, if he is not wise, if he is not discerning, he won't know how to handle what she tells him. This is what she tells him. She says, see, I'm gathering a few sticks. I'm going in, prepare a meal for me and my son. We gonna eat it and die. She has death on her mind. But Elijah is an intelligent prophet. So he does not feel sorry for her. Come on. See, you want a pastor that when you're going through something, you don't want pastor feeling sorry for you. You want pastor to give you a word that comes from God. Not to join your pity party, but pastor, give me a word that ends my pity party, that makes me turn out the light and say the party is over. Listen to me. It is my job sometimes to challenge. He says to her, do as you have said. Here's his discernment. Here's his discernment. Because if this man ain't wise, he can feel bad about what he about to do. I don't need to eat your son. You fixing it for you and your son? And some of you would have been there. Ooh, you'd have talked about Elijah like a low down dirty dog. That woman, single, a widow, told him she had to feed her and her son. And he gonna have the nerve to tell her, take care of him first. That's how them preachers is. Come on, you talked about it. But Elijah was intelligent. He knew her miracle was in her obedience. I can't feel sorry for you. I got to tell you to obey God and it'll be well. That's what we have to do sometimes as intelligent shepherds. He said, you make me a cake first. Then he gave a word. He said, then you do as you have said. And when she obeyed Elijah, her son, and her household ate for many days. There was a famine, which meant days of adversity, days of affliction. They was in a famine, but not her and her house. Her and her house was eating good because an intelligent prophet showed up, didn't feel sorry for her, but gave her a word. Here's the word he told her. Do not fear. He had discernment. He said, woman, the problem is that you're fearful. You're fearful. Some of you're fearful to do certain things. That's your problem. And until you let go of that spirit of fear. See, the spirit of fear is different from natural fear. All of us have natural fear to a certain extent. Somebody hiding and jump out and scare you. That's natural fear. Oh, Lord, we leave out of here right now and a lion is charging toward you. Not the one they have in the zoo, not them sick ones, but one straight out of the safari. You know, I always say that because most of the time when I go to the zoo, them lions look sickly. They don't look strong. They don't roar. They don't go after nothing. They've been institutionalized. They know they can't get you. They know they can't do nothing. But go to the jungle. Go to the jungle. And if we walked out right then, a lion start charging us, for you to sit up there and say you wouldn't be fearful, you were telling a lie. That's human fear. Human fear is different from the spirit of fear. The spirit of fear is fear that shows up to make you not obey God. That's the spirit of fear. You have to destroy that. And Elijah could discern. Do not fear. Spirit of fear is making you look at the little you have and telling you don't give to the man of God because you only have a little. No, you need to give the little so the little will turn into much. But you can't do it controlled by spirit of fear. I want to release a blessing on somebody. I want to tell somebody this week, you gave what was asked. You did it. You sacrificed. Watch God do what you've been wanting him to do. You didn't let fear control you. Am I right? But see, he was a discerning shepherd. Well, Pastor, it's just me, and I'm on a single fixed income, and I ain't got this, that, and other. What do what God tells you. Do what God tells you, and you know what? You're going to look around one day, and you ain't going to be living like you on no fixed single income. People going to be thinking you're doing a little something on the side because of how God got you living. But you're going to tell them what your intelligent shepherd told you. Giving has changed my living. That came out of refuge in Nuna. How are we not to live what God birthed in this house? I'm done. Come on, give him a prayer.
Pray that you are blessed by today's message. Be sure to listen and share other messages available through our podcast outreach. We thank you for all of your past, present, and future support for our ministry. And remember, Jesus is a refuge.